word. It's God's. The enemy won't triumph over you this morning, Brother Pell. The enemy won't triumph over you this morning because it's his word. Let's forget about ourselves this morning. Forget about ourselves. Let's look to God. I'll tell you what, you can't play church and you can never play God. But God is the only. God, like our brother said many times, is the Almighty God. And he's done an almighty work in every one of us. We're up with God. The enemy wants to hit you down hard. But don't rebuke him in your name. Use the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jehovah Jireh. Amen. I just the other day, the other night, you can nip them lights off me, Matthew. I think I'm in a question. How are you? You know, I want to praise the Lord this morning. The greatest light that will ever be in this place is God in the form of the Holy Ghost coming in your heart. That's the greatest light. I want to say, you know, just the other night, a man asked me to speak, and when you're looking at a screen and you're looking at yourself, there's nothing in yourself. All I could see was myself, and there's nothing in me. Nothing. But Christ in my heart. So that doesn't matter how you think about me, or anyone for that matter. I've got Christ.
Hallelujah.
Now, when God opened up the Red Sea, when God done some amazing things, I'm still doing things. He's not an old man on a shelf today. He's not sitting on a shelf like an alpha, getting gray and old like some of us. But God is a renewing strength.
Amen.
And he's a power. And where you have a face that can hold a house, or a face that can liberate an army, God will set you free. God wants you to be quiet whenever he's talking. But when the devil's trying to talk, be loud. Cry him out with the praises of the King. Oh, throat can't let me down because Jesus came to town.
Hallelujah.
The other night I was speaking, and I want to be as loud as I can this morning, so it's just so I can praise God when I get on the other side. He'll thank me for exalting him. I'm not being a peer of the people. One time they wanted to stone a king. Eh? A king. It's in the word of God. We're going to stone King David. One time he was so thirsty and dry, and I'm sure his throat was sore. And he got the water. I'm getting down out of this here throat's nest. One time he needed water. And he needed men. And there's certain type of man that can bring you water. And there's certain type of man that can want to bring you water. God bless for him. There's men that you want to bring you water. And there's men you don't need near your door. They'll put holes in the water jars. God is in the business of giving men water.
Amen.
And it's the water of life. Don't be panicking with me this morning. I can't wear out. Because I'm going up. I'm not here to rust out. When men say no, God says yes. When the devil says no, God says go. God says go. Well, I felt like a bit of a thing coming on my throat the other night. And I says, I better be careful. Then the devil says, that could be urgent, he says. And the devil says all sorts of things. And then I said to Colin, I says, Colin, you wouldn't have any penicillin about the place. Don't be afraid to race for penicillin. But I didn't get it. Thank God he didn't get it. I got something greater than penicillin, brothers and sisters. I got something greater than penicillin. I got a touch from God.
Amen.
I sent a message to Brother Tommy, to Brother Gary, to Brother Sam, to different brothers. And I said, pray for my throat. Now, I didn't have a COVID or any other thing, and if you get tested for COVID, and it brings two red lines up, do you know what to do? Get a thing of Tic-Tacs, uncover out the bottom red line. That'll do away with it. young Pharaoh the other day was knocking about the place I was at. And the boy said to me, Pharaoh's coming. Not in them words, but. And I said, so what? What about it? There's enough room for Pharaoh here. Jesus said to me, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. He went to prepare a place for you and for me. A lot of stuff's happening today in the world. In the world. You can be in the world, but not part of the world. Be of good cheer. Don't say that loud enough. Be of good cheer. There's seasons, but they're not final. And there are seasons in your life where people will want to stone you. They'll want to shut you up. Shut that boy up. They said, who is these boys here? They wanted to shut them up, didn't they? Gary pretty much preached my sermon this morning through singing about the blood of Jesus. God bless you, brother. You know, the thing is this. We can't speak enough about the blood. I want to say this here this morning. If you got a heart and built a heart and it worked, or even got a pump, if you got a pump, and there's doctors here this morning, I'm not a doctor, I don't want to go into your arena, but I want to listen to my Father, God. Where was the life? Was it in the heart? Was it in the kidneys? Was it in the liver? The life is in the blood. Glory! The life is in the blood. No blood, no life. You can go to church, you can't go to church. No life. You can party and lie to people. No life. We'll say when you can worship God, and we'll say when you can't. Brother, how does that work? Notice in the Old Testament, the brother been preaching so fervently about it. And you know what? That tabernacle. Notice one thing. When the priests get out, the glory of the Lord comes in. God's glory.
Amen.
Will not be shared with another. You want to lift up the name of Jesus this morning? Do you feel to lift your hands this morning? And pray his glory. You know what? When I meet him, I'll be happy enough if somebody says, there's that guy who's lifting his hands and shouting, get me saved in the name of Jesus. Well, that's good. Because if a man knows that, what does God know then? God knows the heart.
I'll try and get to the Word of God this morning, and I believe it'll help in the Word of God, what I've been saying. And there's a lot of fear in people today.
And it's understandable. It's highly glorious in this country. I'm going to say things this morning, and I'll know. You'll not need me to say I'm sorry about saying it. I'm saying the truth this morning. 19 years, or 20 years, or 25, or whatever, in this country, you can go to a toilet and you check the top of the door. I'm a man or a woman. I'm a neutral gender or whatever. Don't be offended here this morning. But I want to say this. That fellow over there in the bar, them boys are not going to the toilet not knowing why they're men or women. They know. And them men is feeling like men.
And you know, there's men's hearts is feeling for fear for the things that's coming on the earth. But you don't need a fear this morning. And I know you believe this morning or you wouldn't be here. And even if you weren't here, you'd still believe. Because God's everywhere. Isn't that wonderful? I'll get to a text this morning in Exodus 12 on verse 13. I have a few pieces of to read here because I don't like notes, to be truthful with you.
It's fine, you got notes here, praise the Lord, that's good. You know, some people need notes. But you know, if I open up a tin of laminated or a tin of wrong sealed paint, I don't need a notebook to find out if all the ingredients is in there. That's what it says in the tin. But God is greater than wrong sealed. God can take a harlot woman, and God can take a woman with an issue of blood. God could make it all right just in an instant. See, that's the thing. Longsy can't do that. But God can.
I want to get to reading this here before somebody has to come up and throw me out and read it. But I want to praise the Lord this morning, because God is good on his mercy. Bro, yeah, you wouldn't read that there. Exodus 12, verse 13, please.
Blood shall be to you for stripping upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt.
Did everybody hear that? When I see the blood. Not when I see the heart, the mind. When I see the blood. God made a man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into him the breath of life. And man became a living soul. What is soul? Life. Who gives life? God. So it's determined how that life goes down here. He give you a free will. But live it and believe God. I'll read one more verse here. Exodus 12, verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer. Say it this morning, not suffer the destroyer to come into onto your houses to smite you.
The greatest army you have tonight wouldn't be an AK-47. You could have a Kalashnikov, you could have bombs, you could have guns, but you mightn't be in the position to use them. And there's people and they're trying to make armies and there's hunting people's guns and saying, go you out. That person might as well be handed a catapult. I don't mean that ignorantly. Man needs to be trained in war, but I want to say, even a man that's trained in war, if God puts him on it, doesn't matter how much you're trained in war.
I want to read one more verse, and then I'll let you get to your seats. You've been saying that boy kept me on my feet. What did God do? 2 Kings 19, verse 35. I've lost our pastor. If you could read it out. 2 Kings 19, verse 35.
I think Matthew has it up.
And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they rose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses.
Amen. Just pray quickly and you can be seated. Amen. Dear Lord, we are thankful for your word. Lord, we just thank you that you can hide us out of the way. And use, Lord, this just piece of clay, Lord.
Shout through it, speak through it. In the name of the Lord Jesus, and to your name be all honor and glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You may be seated. I'll not be too long with you. This morning, have you ever lived in a time
where people have a fear on them? But I mean, there's people have a fear on them. They fear the smallest things, not even the big things. They're afraid. They're afraid. And the devil wants you.
See, when the devil was up there, and he was up like that fella, and he was like a powerful star. He's a powerful lad, good-looking fella, Lucifer.
He was up there, and what he said, I'll be like the Most High. He exalted himself, but he couldn't exalt himself above the Most High. Yeah.
And he was cast down, and one third was cast down.
Do that arithmetic yourself. One third against two thirds.
But God, in his majesty, he loves you. Before you were born, he knew you. And you know what's wonderful? I don't want to miss out on this also, and I want to stay with the blood is still there.
And what that means is the life is still there. We're not here to bury anybody this morning. We're not in this morning.
Ah, get him on the ground.
He's a right fella. And you know, the thing is this. You're here now. You ought to be alive. was just your life when he was 80 years old. He was. David wasn't. David passed on at 70, 70. But I want to say this, while he was here, he was alive. And when he needed a drink, he was alive. And you're alive this morning. And I'm telling you, you're alive. Because God's word says you have been quickened, who were dead and what? Death causes the good works? No. Death causes the sin. The next time you see someone that you think maybe is worse than you, pray for them. Don't point at them. Jesus took a stick one day and he wrote in the ground. I wrote in the sand yesterday at Newcastle, Jesus saves with a stick. And I got the way he wants to write it. And the people's coming by with their dogs looking over. And they see it because it's a written word. And Jesus did see it. But I want to tell you what I'm talking about this morning. You know what I'm talking about, for? Jesus got a stick and he wrote on the ground. Whenever that woman was caught in the act of adultery, brought the woman. Do you know what's great thing for me? Oh, what a revelation. It hit me real hard one day and I thought it was great. But it was hard in a good way. He wrote on the ground and he maybe put a few fellas' names in there that was with the woman. Then we, I'm not going to throw these, there's no throwing into the story. I'm going to come to Mark, get somebody slips the way out of that big claim. He can rejoice for a lot of time. Listen, the stones that the people were holding that they wanted to throw, Jesus writes in the ground. That's what it says. Give a stone, go to the ground. He probably wrote their names. And then all of a sudden, boom, stones. Stones fall. You know what they sing about it? See, maybe a few days after that, the rain came, the wind came. You go back. Where did he write? Where did he write in the song? Where did he write it? You can't find it. And your sin and your iniquity, I will remember no more. So whenever a body born of a woman a few days and full of trouble reminds you about it, remind him about the God that says, I remember them no more. I'll take courage. Amen. Fear not. What did the angel always say? Fear not. Fear not. I want to say this morning, fear not. Why? The blood is still there. I stayed in a hotel up in Aberdeen one time. Jenny and the kids came and we went down to the beach, lifted shells and all that type of thing. And we had a good day. And the hotel was just up, and I think maybe we could have been maybe a second or third visit. It was just a brand new hotel. I'm not advertising the Hilton here this morning, but last of the hotel was at that particular time. I stayed in the Crown Plaza and other places. They're just a dwelling place for an evening. With a roof over your head. And they'll give you good foods and good stuff. They never go to God, but they never give you good food. He's never seen me feeling yet. And that's you going hungry. There's a hunger this morning in the world, brother. Amos. It's not a hunger for bread, but for the word. People don't eat this word. And some fellow will come on and he'll shout. He'll be at a disco the night before, half lit. And he'll come in the next day and he'll say something. And people sitting up, did you hear from up and down? Tie them hands up, tie them legs. Did you hear what's happening now? Well, I want to tell you what's happening now. God's still on the throne now. And the blood is still there. I want to tell you something happened to me. Vision, dream. I can't say it fully, but I'll just tell you. Because I can't forget it. And it might have happened to you too. I just want to say it's important for this. Because we've read this about the blood on the lintel. I was up and I was took to a place. And I there was a big table in the place, something similar to the table Gary has in his tits and the big oak table he had brought. It was like that. I'm just describing the best I can. And on the table, it looked like a big jar. Now to me, it looked like stuff called kefir. Who's ever heard of kefir? It's like a natural yogurt. If you take it, it's good for your stomach. There's bacteria and all that that helps you. Because we clean our hands up much now, we clean the bacteria after them. So when you eat the food, it's all just washed up real good, and it just comes out of the dross, like Jesus said. But I want to stick with the story. And there was two men in there, normal looking men, dressed in white. And they had the hyssop and they were putting it over the lips. And they were putting it around. And I was working in Newcastle in Fontaine at this stage. Now this is after I came home from Scotland. And I went out. When in the dream I seen this stuff and I wasn't confused by no means. But let me say, I wondered what's up in the middle of the table. Lovely big glass. And I said, you know, what is that stuff? So, it didn't really puzzle me or anything like that, but it was really a vivid dream. It was like it happened, it's like I'm here now. It happened really, really, it was really as if like I could touch the people and I'm sitting there at that table and they were putting this around and it felt good. The atmosphere in that place was brilliant. Couldn't explain it. You just forget about yourself, like you ought to do now. And you know, I was working in Newcastle then, upon Tyne, a while after that. And there was a few Jewish guys who was up studying in the university. And I noticed a few of these fellas, and I don't know what type of Jews they were. Different types of Jews. And that. But, listen, I was talking to the guys. They came to me, they approached me. I was pushing sand back out to the sea after a storm on Holmes. Then I was on a big Volvo digger loading dump trucks to take the sand to another place. And they approached me. And they said, is it okay if we go down here on this side of the beach? And I says, yeah, that's all clear. Go ahead. Don't go beyond them rocks, sir. Because we've dozed out a great cavern to let sand at. And we don't want it. You couldn't swim and you fell into that. We need somebody to pull you. He says, that's fine. And they said to me then, do you like the Jews? I says, yes, I love the Jews, because God loves the Jews. He says, that's great. And I says, you know something? I says, the Philistines are still in your country trying to take a part of it. But I says, don't panic. What God gives, no man will take away. That's God's word. I'm to do with me. And when I said that Philistine, that guy said, do you know that the Philistines are the one? He said, God's word says it. I didn't get much more time to talk about them things. But I want to stick with my subject this morning. So, I said, boys, before you go any further, I've just something I want to ask you, fellas. Just a simple question. You know, what does kefir mean to you people? Does kefir any significance, or do you learn anything about it in the tabernacle, or when you learn, or when you're studying the Torah, anything about kefir? And one guy stood forward and he said, kefir. He said the closest thing that they bring the kefir to is the food that the angels fed them, the manna. And the closest thing they could bring it to was that kefir. Because it worked the same way. Now, I'll tell you what. I was happy about that. Because I put the puzzle together. It wasn't a puzzle. But I put the love story together. God has applied the blood to my heart. The doorpost of your heart. And he was giving me angels food. He done that with the ones that came out of Egypt. And he fed them angels food. Do you know the greatest food you can eat this morning? Jesus said that he was the water of life. He said, if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. Remember the woman at the well. He said to eat this bread and you'll live. The devil's bringing 70 ancients in every day. He's attack, attack, attack. A king's being sung told about the great victories he's having, King David. But then it comes a time when the people want to stone him. Can you see what I'm saying? things in right by hope and all the rest, and the devil goes, what are you? I'll flood you out. And I just says, you'll not. Because God has a pump. A pump that you can't even see. He'll get rid of any water that I need to get rid of. And God does. And when I asked these men the other night to pray for my throat, they prayed for it. And it feels 3 times stronger than it did before. So praise God. I'm hoping another bit bulletproof against the devil. You are bulletproof this morning against the devil.
What would it matter, man, in Russia and Ukraine, you see these things happening? And you know, it's easier for people to fear. You know, people's coming around bombing your homes and bombing, and they're coming in around. And you know, if you were hit with a bomb this morning, or if you were shot with a gun this morning, or stabbed, matches a couple of big swords down there, if someone run one of them swords through you, the sword going through you doesn't kill you. The bullet doesn't kill you. It's the blood leaking from you that kills you. There was a water buffalo, or one of them big buffaloes there out in Africa, that like a fake the lands. I think Brother Samuel mentioned something about that the other week. And I don't want to get too deep into it, but a man said he was out hunting one time and he shot one of these. And the thing kept running and running and running till the bullet pushed back out and the wound actually healed itself over again. And the thing didn't bleed to death. And a crocodile, big old crocodile down there in the water. Remember, man set himself afloat this wee fella down these crocodile river here. Would you have done that with your kid to save him? Oh, well, the doctor said, don't check him in the water. Woohoo! I mean, get bit by a wee insect or something, I'd never pick it. Oh, pop him into the crocodile, put him in! Oh, you can't put him in. Don't put him in there. But God said, do it. They have faith in God. And there is a prince of the people goes right down in, and God takes him right to the door of the enemy. And then the enemy's looking after him. Isn't it wonderful this morning that there's life in the blood of Jesus? Isn't it wonderful that the blood's still there? We have had a powerful time lately, and people's looking at situations and, what would you say, events. And them events is taking the feet right from the people. And there's people telling you to do things that don't have the Holy Spirit. There's people telling you to do things that don't have God in their life. They need to get God in their life. You know, do you think them 185,000 Syrians that were coming down in to slaughter God's people? Do you think maybe some fellow said, how long? We can't send in any help. 185,000 men. We can't send in help. If we sent in help there, that would cause an awful scene. We're already over here. Don't use white either. Is it a bit like the Jews? When Hitler landed into Poland, they came out across the country, and then they were persecuting the Jews. They treated them worse than animals. Now, that spirit hasn't left. A spirit does not die. But I want to say something. You need to apply the blood of Jesus. You need to plead the blood of Jesus upon your family, upon yourself, upon your home, upon your outgoing, your ingoing. You need to plead the blood. What is pleading the blood? If you've ever been in a situation where you needed a lawyer, the lawyer goes up and he speaks on your behalf. And then the judge has to say, right, this boy put up a good point here. Let that boy free. And when you plead the blood, the enemy may come now, but he sees the blood. And in this word it says the destroyer has to pass on. That's right. So I had a situation and I give it over to Jesus. I spoke Jesus over the situation. And he brought health, strength,
and he'll guide me, because he's the greatest guide. Aren't you glad this morning, or any morning, that the blood is still there? In other words, the life is still there. And there's not, when should you plead the blood? Every day. Every day. Because every day you need to plead the blood. Why? Because you're in this world. And the enemy's going about seeking whom he can devour. But aren't you glad that your name that was maybe written in the Psalms washed away now? God loves you. He gave himself for you. And no greater thing could Jesus do than to wash you in his blood. And it had to be perfect, spotless blood. That's why Jesus had to be Father of God. God is his Father. No man. Because man that was born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Jesus wasn't full of trouble. Jesus was full of life. Jesus was full of healing power and life. Everywhere he went, where people came to him and he touched them, they were set free, healed, and delivered. When? Right away. And you may say, you know what? That fella there, he's getting himself all excited. But without any blood, there's no life. So you need the blood. I'm just going to go to Psalm 46 quickly here. And, amen. Psalm 46. This is a wonderful protein supplement here. I've gnawed on this a lot of times. And I've had this a lot of times. And I've had it, and had it, and had it, and had it. And every time I eat it, I get stronger, brother. Because you know why? God is our refuge. Everybody say, God is our refuge. And strength. A very present help in trouble. Here, when you're in trouble, if you need something right away, something to present itself right away, do you ring the doctor? Do you ring Brother Colin? Do you ring maybe some of the other brothers that can maybe get their hands on painkillers and stuff? Do you ring them people? No. God is a present help in the time of when? Trouble. Does most people, when they're in trouble, look to God? Well, I know how I used to operate.
I tried to get the decent matter of what man was causing the trouble and maybe go and try and deal with the man.
But that doesn't work. God needs to deal with the situation. Because God wants to. And in verse 2 it says, therefore will not we fear. That's the real no fear situation there. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed above. Could remove the earth. Who's afraid? Are you afraid?
You ought to not fear.
You are going to step out of this carcass and then another realm. One day you're going to step out of this old suitcase and then another realm. What God has given. This here is pre-life. Right now. This is pre-life. This is life before real life. Because God is going to make you one day you're going to be able to run, roar, and not tire out. Oh, that's not great. And won't it be a time, as the man sings a song, won't it be a time? Walking with the angels. You'll be able to move with a thought. Remember Philip one time down in there, and he was preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch. And then he was translated to another city there. It's not mighty. That's what God's word says.
Some people fear what someone says and the flesh tells them. And there's men in this word being translated to the other cities. And then you'll get some educated fool that will say to you, that couldn't happen. That makes it clearer. Because God specializes in the impossible things. And he makes that which is impossible possible. Who could open up the Red Sea maybe even today? I don't think anybody would have the ability to do that. It would creep in. I don't think they could do it. But God can. He's proved it.
He's already done it. A man said to me one day, we were chatting, and I was giving a few tracks out to people. And he says, you're a header, boy.
Giving out them tracks of that. Hey, you're a header. Well, he says, boy, look, be honest with you, that's God's word there. And I'm not going. And he says, it's not on sale, but I says, you don't look like a right sensible boy to me. And I says, I'll be steady in it. I says, work this out. You're calling me a header. And I says, I don't mean to make it now. I'm not getting torn on here. And I'm only 5 foot ten. I'm packing around 280 pounds and bench pressing 500 pound weight. You're calling me a header? I says, what if God just lets me loose here for 3 seconds? I'll often forgive me when it's all over. His tone changed.
What's hard about that? Oh, you're charnel broke. Well, praise God! So are some of you! Until Jesus washed you and his life-giving blood and he deeds of all the charnel. Sometimes the men of this world are wiser than the children of light. The Bible says, we ought to use what we have. What did David use?
The stone from the brook. Praise the Lord. I got the sling on me. Slung it. Hit the giant right in the middle of the head. And down he went. And he took the enemy's weapon that he was using against him. And he took his head off. What's the head? That's the authority.
This world will lose his authority one day when Christ steps in. And the greatest war of all, when never God himself, and it's written on the side with the blood, the Lord will come. And a vest are steeped in blood. A vest are steeped in life.
He doesn't bring death, friend. He brings life. One that has life, stay with him. And the great sword of truth and the Spirit will come and that will give you light.
And it's dark at the night, but joy cometh in the morning. There may be weeping in the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Aren't you glad about that tonight? I'm glad about that. It's good to get excited about Jesus. I wrote a couple of things here. Jesus is not just any king. Jesus is the King of Kings. And that's why he can answer you this morning. The Word of God says we have not because we ask not. And we ask amiss.
If you want death, follow the things of death. If you want life, follow the things of life.
When someone gives you a report and they're of the same ability of you, you need to hear from God. If you need God to change your situation, you need to plead the blood. And like I say, sometimes it rains and rains and rains, but it's not final. There'll be seasons come in your life and you'll think, I can't handle it.
I'm afraid. You can't. So you give it over to God. Then the Holy Ghost comes in and he lifts you up out of that situation. And I'm sure everyone here has had a situation like that. Because God can lift you from the city. And the devil does not want to encourage you one bit. Sin will take you longer than you want to stay, and it will keep you.
And that's clutches. But God wants to give you life. And how many people do we meet today?
They're Christian. And they're saved and they know God. And they come along and their head's down like that. And it's like, well, how are you today, boy? Oh, you're not here, I got a flat wheel, boy.
Listen, could you imagine how David felt when he went down and a fellow was prepared for battle? Saul, David King, big sword, all the shiny armour. Here's a fellow looking at the sheep. He goes up a wee bit of lunch to these lads. Donner's down, and he hears a big lump of a boy roaring and shouting in the valley. But he said to himself, the light that's in that boy, where's it from? God gives life. Even God gave the enemy life. God produced the devil. The devil didn't produce himself. Anybody ever train at a trade in here? Sure there is. I remember training to do something, to do a job. And how it was back in the day, you were left out something to do. If you made a real hon of it, you got a boot on the place where you sit. And maybe slap too. Now that doesn't happen today. Because if wee Jimmy goes over and scoops your car with a nail, he's telling you, ah, Jimmy didn't mean it, you know. Didn't mean it. And then you have to go and Jimmy's wee result maybe cost you 800 quid more. Every time you see wee Jimmy. 800 quid, yeah. You know, but you've done things that's annoyed God. You've done things. You've rubbed the nail up along things that God loves. What does he do? Does he stone you? David did things God didn't like. And God didn't totally put him away. God gives life. And I want to tell you, when the devil says that you're finished, just say to him, this is only the beginning, devil. This is just the beginning. Because people get older. But really, you're coming to a place where it's going to be like our brother said one time about the butterfly. It had imaginary sails, remember? And it went not wee lump of lard and it got turned into a beautiful butterfly. But you're a needle this morning. Eagles don't want to lay eggs for eating. They can eat the thing that lays the egg. An eagle can eat a chicken. An eagle's stronger. And that's what you are this morning. I'm telling you that right now. There was an eagle one time in the threshing floor. His name was Gideon. He didn't realize he was an eagle. He thought, I can't do it. I can't do it. You keep telling yourself you can't do something. Tell yourself I can. And then go into that verse, I can do all things through Christ. That strengtheneth me. Oh, see that strengtheneth? In other words, you're going to get stronger. You don't have to do a thing about it. Just believe it. How could there be food here? If there was windows in heaven, this thing couldn't happen. But them boys there, you heard the other week, the donder didn't, them boys were falling apart. The donder did. It was a ball of food for them. A bunch of lepers landed into the city. Where was God's bed then? It's not what the word of God says. What about the fellas hitting the cave? Three blades. Remember them lads? They run out. They need somewhere to hide. They found a cave. The cave was a great place. Because it was a place they could dwell in safety in the cave. But then they had to come out of the cave. At the start of the cave was a place of refuge. And they hid in it. Then what happened? Joshua came along. There were stones put over. That cave became a prison. The boys was tucked out there and they were hung. Get the Bible and read it. This might seem strange to you. I'm just telling you what God's word says. And I want you to think about it. Them boys were took out and they were hung. So the place where they went for refuge. Number one, it was refuge, they thought. It was a cave. It then became a prison house. And then it became a burial place for a tomb. And the devil wants you to stay in a cave. That's why a traveling man that has God in his life won't stay in a cave.
And Nigel doesn't go to the here. He goes up into the heavenlies.
And this morning, you can go into the heavenlies. Why? Because the blood is still there. And this is not my word. If it was, don't panic about it. But this is God's word. And God loves you this morning. And he sent you this morning. There is things that's going to happen. And there's things that is going on that we know about. But the blood is still there. I want to say God bless everyone this morning. And if you have a situation this morning, I know that the blood's still here. And you know, when you start to work out what God's going to use, then you're going to miss it. A fella came dancing one day naked, and a woman looked out a window. I think it was Saul's daughter, not right? Look at that being fella there, which you saw King David. Look! Look to Jesus! And accept what he's done. He's washed you in the regeneration. Blood of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful this morning? I'm going to get back to my seat. But there's no stones in here. But just in case. But I want to say this. It's not easy for the man that comes behind the pulpit. It's not easy for men to get up and speak. I tell you what. It's a hard thing. How many said to me to come up and speak? Let me tell you, I wasn't excited saying, right? I can't wait to get down there. I can't wait. No. You can wait, all right. You know what the Bible says about wait? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew what? Their fear? No, their strength. Brothers and sisters, you have renewed your strength this morning. Thank Jesus. I'm going to return to my seat before Matthew brings them two swords out. But listen, God bless you all richly. And if you get anything this morning, well, you really have got something this morning. Not from me, from God. But on top of that, remember, the blood is still there. In our words, the life is still there. Amen. Over, Tommy. God bless.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand our feet. Your brother Guy's going to come. The Lord bless each one. The Lord bless your brother Ian. Thank God for the blood. Amen. And the blood shall never lose its power. Isn't that right? Praise God. This evening we'll be looking at the ark. And come along 6 o'clock tonight. It's great to see the sun out, isn't it? And the days are getting longer. So maybe it'll be still daylight when we come tonight. Does anyone know the first ark in the Bible? Moses' ark. Noah's ark. Moses. Noah's ark. But you know, there's something about Noah's ark and there's something about Moses' ark that was the same. Noah's putting an ark and Moses is putting an ark. A basket, but they called it an ark. They're both pitched within and they're both pitched without. The two arcs. They're called an ark. So there's a combination telling, but maybe not even preaching that tonight, but I want to talk about the ark. The sacrifice was placed in the outer court tonight. Come along this evening as we hear the word of God and make an effort to come, those that can come. And please, those that can come to our prayer and Bible study Thursday nights, 7:30. We're looking last Thursday night about the cloud. And you know, what really blessed me was it said there was a thick presence of God. The thick presence of God. And that's what we need. We need the thick presence of God. So pray for the service. And God bless your brother Ian and each one this morning. God bless each one. As your brother Gary comes, God bless you all.
Let's sing that chorus, alive, alive, alive forevermore. Yeah. Jesus is alive.
Alive, alive.
Pastor, Pastor, please close in prayer. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just thank thee with everlasting arms.